from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, verse 80, text 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho hi putakayu yam asman arte dadukita. Atma vai praninam preshta tad anadritya matpara. Sandipani said, O my children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dear, you are so dedicated to me that you completely disregard your own comfort. Om Gyane Timurandasya Ananjana Shalakaya Daksul Mulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vitetanya Meno Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Shayamu Pakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyashta Kripa Shindu Vaye Vaja Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wait 1 second, I'll be right back. I have to plug in something. Hare Krishna, greetings from New York City. I attended the Rath Yatra Festival, which is very glorious. I mean, it's kind of a miracle that, you know, Hare Krishna, especially when they got it, when Prabhupada was here in 76, we're not a prominent spiritual movement. And somehow or other, they got Fifth Avenue for their parade, which was Prabhupada's dream, because that festival was so important to him. So I just want to give a little few of my reflections. Of the Rath Yatra, and then we'll start with the text that we're studying today, which I'm kind of excited about. Anyway, when I got there, the first thing, of course, is just the seeing Lord Jagannath on that chart, on that cart with Subhadra and Baladev, and just remembering deeply what that festival represents. It represents the highest experience of love and devotion, where Srimati Radharani meets Krishna after 96 years. But because now he's a king and surrounded by his retinue and his, you know, kingly dress. He's not able to, he's not able to express the deeper side of himself, which is as a lover. And that's what Krishna is. Krishna is the deeper side of God. So in that sense, it's not Krishna. It's Krishna, but it's not Krishna. At least the relationship to Radharani, so because Krishna's her lover. And that side of God, the depth and intimacy of that side of God can only be expressed in a intimate setting, which is Vrindavan. So it means when God wants to reveal himself fully, then the atmosphere in which that happens is called Vrindavan. So, so when Radharani meets Krishna, even though Krishna is there, she feels deep separation, which is the height of love. And the height of joy, ironically. And therefore, Radharani wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. That's what the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra represent. That's what the Ratha Yatra represents. And Krishna comes in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanting to experience love from the perspective of the devotee at the height of their love. And that's Radharani in a mood of separation. And that's Ratha Yatra. So just coming there on 45th Street and 5th Avenue and just seeing that and thinking about that was so wonderful. And then I decided I would walk the whole parade and chant in that mood, praying in that mood, which is just so relishable. And the sentiments going back to Vrindavan, it's just so relishable. Of course, I don't like to be trapped inside, so I was walking outside the ropes, but then you become, I don't call it a target, but so many people wanted to come up and say hello, and, you know, I do feel that Sadhu should be open. So that's also nice, but probably got to chant half the time. Of course, sometimes a man, right before me, there was this tall guy with his bead bag in the hand, looking passionately out at the crowd, enunciating Hare Krishna, for their benefit. Which was kind of nice, but on the other hand, I had this thought that one of the austerities of being in any group is that there's one crazy person or eccentric, he represents the whole group. Well, beside my own weakness in that matter, I kind of transcended figuring. And, of course, we got to and then, of course, first time in many years, Agni Dev was leading kirtans. And he was one of the first great kirtaneers recognized in the movement. But, you know, the real great kirtaneers are recognized for their humble expression of spiritual love. Of course, kirtan is spiritual love expressed through the discipline of music. It's not just a virtuoso, but just someone who knows the simple, I don't know what you call it, but just has a good musical, disciplined musical sense. And so just listening to his heart was also so relishable. And then when I got to the park, I mean, I had never seen so many devotees at the Rath Yatra. Because they had to be, anyway, it was glorious. So many people, and I think in New York, so many people coming to Krishna consciousness. It's kind of unique because it's such a wild variety of people. You know, generally people go to a church because kind of the people represent their values. So in a general way they do, but there's so many varieties of people. And then in the park, I guess for, you know, 5 hours or more, I just said hello to people. And I thought it's just what I should be doing, but then, you know, I could just sit in the kirtan someplace and close my eyes. But on the other hand, I kind of sensed it was my duty. I don't know how I would do it the next time, especially people you haven't seen for a while, and interesting people from New York that I know, and I guess it's part of my seva. But, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of felt two things, almost contradictory. One, this is my experience. It works. When you absorb yourself, in kirtan, in the holy name, it works. It transforms you. It gives you a desire to please Krishna. It gives you a certain love that makes chanting easy. And you want to chant because that's the expression of love. So it works. Amidst all that, it works. At the same sense, the variety of people that you have to exchange with, all sorts of people. You can also feel that effect too. You know, so I said, when I wake up in the morning, how will I feel? I felt both. Exhausted from that, and at the same time, feeling that spiritual love and wanting to glorify God. So, interesting experience. But there are so many people that I do love, and so many people that I saw that I could. So, we're in this wonderful story of Sandipani, of Sudama Brahman. He's a poor Brahmin. Very poor, and his wife asked him to beg from Krishna, who's the king and so wealthy, and he does not want to ask anything because intense love is just so focused emotionally on wanting to please and serve. So, especially in the relationship of someone who's your superior. But he acceded to his wife's request is going to see Krishna. And he meets Krishna, and Krishna just worships him because he's a Brahmin and Krishna's a Kshatriya. And of course, it's the extra pleasure of Krishna that is his devotee. And in that friendship, they begin to reminisce, which, in a spiritual sense, can certainly be very relishable. Because the reminiscence is based on one's affection for another person in the shared experience of love of Godhead. So he says, you remember enjoying the result of coming to the ashram of our teacher. And the result is the capacity to enjoy spiritual love. And that should be the result of sadhu sangha. That our capacity to enjoy spiritual love should increase. And then he describes how fortunate it was to be in the ashram of a spiritual master who has realized Jnana. Because the father is the first spiritual master. And then you may have a guru that helps you perform rituals. But if you could meet a realized spiritual master who has depth of knowledge, realizations, how great is that? Because knowledge is everything, not just intellectual knowledge, but realized knowledge is everything. Because that's the only way to overcome ignorance, which is the root of all suffering. And that's why I feel so much gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for the teachings that he gave and the conviction in which he presented them and the effect that it had on my life. And then he turns to Sudama and said, you know, we're so fortunate because the best of all knowers of what is welfare, the best of all knowers of what is their personal welfare, is that person who takes advantage takes advantage of the teachings that God speaks, which come through the mouths of those who represent him. So that, I love that image that first really struck me. The voice of God, it means like we're part of something. So we are, our duties are dictated by that which we are part of, and that is God. Just like the hands, duties are dictated by the voice of the body. So our duties, and therefore what is best for us, because that's what Dharma means. Dharma means what is best for us. Best for us, meaning best who we are at the core of our hearts, which is servants of God. We want to serve someone, you have to find out their desire. And that desire comes through the spiritual master. And that desire of God is to directly serve him. And therefore also to directly, and also to serve, or serve also the needs that we have that enable us to be peaceful, to realize the human form of life, to realize what is to be realized in the human form of life, which is God consciousness. And then he says, one who does this, I'm more satisfied with that person than any other religious activity. One who tries to please me by serving those who represent me. Because that also, when done in the proper mood to the proper person, is the ultimate expression of the self and the ultimate expression of humility. And in the idea that the absolute reality is personal, it naturally invokes that service and that dependence. It naturally invokes the shelter of God. Because it invokes the heart of God. And that's what bhakti is. Bhakti means to attract the heart of God. For making us available to his will, which is manifest through the spiritual master. So, Krishna begins to remember a particular incident that highlighted the glories of the spiritual master. But not only highlighted the glories of the spiritual master, but also highlighted their discipleship. They were asked to get firewood. The guru said go out to get firewood. It wasn't the rainy season. And in India, the rain generally comes quite regularly, which means it doesn't rain at certain times. But there was unseasonable rains. And then just as the sun set, there were flash floods. And they lost their way. And the water was covering, you couldn't tell, distinguish between the hills and the valleys, because there was really a heavy rain. And they're trying to find their way. Even when I came to New York yesterday, I kind of like to go down the Sawmill Parkway and go down the West Side Highway. So I went to the Sawmill Parkway and it was just closed off because there were floods. But they're so good. There's so much in a bhav, this consciousness of love and wanting to please, to really a perfected state, that their service becomes more important than their self. Of course, you can't do that to the extent that you abuse yourself and you can't, sir. We have to take care of ourselves. But this is not just a life decision. This is not like a life decision, but this is just a particular instance. And they just, the service is just so important. They are holding on to that wood. even though the floods came, these some scars are so deep for Dharma, for duties, for responsibilities, invoking the remembering some of the old timers in Braj and Vrindavan. When people have these samskaras of Dharma so embedded in them. I remember Ardhadu, the mailman, you know, when he came to Vrindavan, he thought, now I will not wear shoes. I'm going to become renounced. And even he got pneumonia. You may criticize him, you know, he still never wore. It was his vow. It was his vow. People to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he took a mango that, when he was 5 years old, he took a mango and ate it, not realizing that it was not prasadam, but bhoga. It hadn't been offered. And his father said, you're an offender. And he took it so seriously. He never ate another mango in his life. Should his father have talked him out of it? But you have to understand that certain people put their word, their responsibilities above anything else. I was talking about one devotee I know that I really felt will die for the truth in a second. That's admirable. I used to have this old Indian friend. He was the first principal of the Gurukul, Dr. Sharma. When his son left home and his wife died in heartbreak, so it was some family squabble, he vowed, I'll never eat grains, I'll never eat any oil-based thing, I'll never eat any nuts or dried fruit. Never eat any grains. He just ate boiled vegetables and yogurt and milk and fruit for the rest of his life. He never went home again because that was his vow. Bhishma Dev, he made his vow to help his father who was attracted to this daughter of the fisherman, who wouldn't allow his father to have this lady because he wanted to ensure that her son would be heir to the throne. And, of course, Bhishma Dev was older, was the heir to the throne, so he vowed, no, I will never get married. He was a big kshatriya. I will take a vow of celibacy. He was a big kshatriya. Bhishma means vow. So that was their duty. That was their responsibility. The faculties of rationalization are not activated deeply in people like this. It's their personality. So Sandipani Muni, he finds them. When the sun rose, he finds them, and he's just, it melts his heart. It's the principle of love that rules the universe when it's pure. Oh, pure love does rule the universe. We cut ourselves off from it by our own desire to set priorities of enjoyment and control before that. But that's the principle of love. It's reciprocal. And when you give yourself to someone fully, if they are psychologically intact, They give themselves to you. And this is bhakti. So Sandipani Muni was moved. My children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature because it is the facility we are given to fulfill the desires that have become prominent in our heart to not be devotees, and that's why we're here. So dear, but you have dedicated to me so much. You completely disregarded your own comforts. That's love. Pure love is living in the world of someone else's love, someone else's desires. Just wanting to please. No selfish conception. That's why that type of conception is liberating. One who actually surrenders to Guru, he is liberated. Because he's changed the conception that has bound one to the body. I'm the enjoyer and controller. One really surrenders. And it's a rare thing. It's not just that, you know, we get a chance to surrender, but really surrenders. And gives themselves to God fully through the guru or gurus. Gives oneself fully. Kinkari, gopi, what you want, I will do. Then the root of ego has been removed. And the source of material consciousness has been uprooted. I love that example given. Just like when a lady in Indian culture, a young girl living with her father, her identity is as daughter. When she gets married, she even goes to her husband's house, her identity immediately changes. Now her prominent identity is as wife. So similarly, Krishna is the supreme disciple, and Sandipani Muni is a pure devotee. There's a shift in consciousness. There's nothing in their life to feed the ego. They do nothing independent of trying to please God. Etareva hi satshishyai kartavyam guru nishkritam yadvai vishuddha pavena sarvatatmarpanam garo. This is indeed the duty of all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with pure hearts their wealth and even their lives. One engages one's body to realize one's purposes. The body is also the basis of the material conception of I. While one's fortune is the basis of the conception of mine. So I am mine, material, I am this body, things in relationship to the body should be mine. Thus, by offering everything to the spiritual master, one realizes oneself to be an eternal servant of the Lord. So the shift in consciousness. But now, the qualification of such a person. The spiritual master does not exploit the disciple, but rather engages him fully in Krishna consciousness for the disciple's eternal benefit. So really, the teacher doesn't want anything from the disciple except their love for Krishna, expressed through that spiritual master to repose the lotus feet of Krishna. I told last week, as I spoke on this verse a little bit, Shamdas, we went to the Parsanavis Baitik, Vallabha Baitik, where Vallabha sit, and he had this vision. He saw this snake, the python, being eaten by ants. So he revealed that this was a guru in his last life who developed dependence on his disciples in consciousness for his maintenance rather than dependence of God. Of course, that may happen. He may be maintained by the disciples. But that's not his desire. His desire is to serve God and to educate people. Many depends on God, but if the consciousness shifts due to material desire, I need them for my personal needs, not just for service, but for things that I want, then that screws up the relationship. You boys are first-class Brahmins, and I am satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled, and may the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning to you in this world or the next. Basically, I bless you to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, because if you're not fixed, then what you learn recedes. If you don't revise what you learn, it recedes. It recedes. Purport, cooked food left sitting for 3 hours is called yatayama, indicating that it has lost its taste. And similarly, if a devotee does not remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, the transcendental knowledge that once inspired him on this spiritual path will lose its taste or meaning for him. This is what happens. It's not, C.S. Lewis spoke, it's not that people lose faith due to some doubts that arise, but rather not exercising their faith, it kind of recedes. Plus, Sandeep Panimuni blesses his disciples that the Vedic mantras which reveal the absolute truth will never lose their meaning to them, will remain ever fresh in their mind. Lord Krishna continued, we had many similar experiences while living in our spiritual master's home. Simply by the grace of the spiritual master, a person can fulfill life's purpose and attain eternal peace. One second. Back. I live in the half a floor of the Bhakti Center is this Ayurvedic cooking, and they have a futon and they set it up for me. So it's really nice, and there's, except so much of the time people are doing things here. Anyway, I'm going to stop now because I do have to leave here when the cooking classes start soon. Would anybody like to say hello? Wait, I have to unmute.
Hi.
One sec. I think that's star 6 if anybody wants to say hello. Would anybody like to say hello today?
Hello?
Who's this?
Goloka.
Oh, Goloka. Thank you for coming on. That's great. Wonderful.
It works.
Hey, do you have any... Good. I want to, that's why I said. Do you have any questions today? I just wanted to say hello.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much
for coming on. Thank you. Thank you so much for your talk.
Thank you. Okay. And if you're around Monday, I'm giving talk at 26 Second Avenue.
26. Okay.
No, it's on the 10th, but it's 26 Second Avenue. That's where the place is. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay. I heard Carl and Stella.
Hi, boss.
Wow. We missed you yesterday.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We miss you always.
And I'm saying you have Adhikar, because this Prabhupada said, New York is favored by me because I started the movement here. I want all New Yorkers to Krishna consciously advance. Okay. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
This Nanda Dula?
Yes, you don't have time today, otherwise I had a question.
Ask the question. I stopped early.
Okay, my question is, you know, the Sisastakam, third verse. Vinadu Pishunichana Tururu Pishoshana Amanina Manodana Kirtaniya Shadahari. How to practically, you know, accomplish that practically, not theoretically?
Practically, okay. I mean, how to practice it, right?
Yes.
Well, everything in bhakti is density humility, because if you practice Krishna consciousness, then what happens? You get devotion, and devotion is humility, because it inspires you to want to serve. And humility is more than anything else the desire to serve, which means to take instructions. In other words, take instructions from the voice of service, which is not born from your ego, which is the voice of control and enjoyment and control. So more than anything else, humility means the willingness to take diction, diction, instruction, to take diction from something else higher than your own whims. So Krishna consciousness itself does that. Relationship with Vaishnavas and spiritual master does that. And the act of service itself does that. Because you get a taste for something beyond your ego, which is service, even if it's going against your desires at the time. For example, when there is a feast, how do you practice humility? You be the one that serves. You be the one that serves. Okay, Nanda Dua, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. That was Gail. This is Bhagavati.
Oh,
Bhagavati.
Hare
Krishna. Where are you calling from, Bhagavati? Florida?
Yeah. I tuned in quite late, but I'm meaning to do it more regularly. I usually go to the river on Sunday mornings, but happy
okay.
to hear your voice and others too.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Great. Good. Gail?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm
nice
happy
to see
to hear
you there
your voice.
Yesterday.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice
I'm
to see you there.
To
nice
voice
to see.
And your
thank
clarity.
You.
Love your clarity of instruction so much. Thank you.
Thank you. And I was happy to see your daughters
both?
There.
You saw both
yes.
of them?
Yeah, I saw
wow.
both of them. They both came up to me very excitedly.
Really?
Yes, they
oh,
did.
I'm happy about that.
Okay. Okay.
You.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Who's that?
Hare Krishna.
Hey, Kanya Priya, Hare Krishna.
How are you?
What's that?
I said, how are you?
Fine. You know, when I'm your teacher, when one is teaching Krishna consciousness, it's wonderful, right?
It is. Serving it really
Krishna.
Is. I'm tapering it on the other side.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chaitanya Priya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj.
Mother Indrani. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
You have
such a nice quality of devotion in your voice. It's always nice to hear from you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribo Maharaj.
Hey, Shastra. Wonderful. Great. Okay. I do plan on getting out there somehow. We'll coordinate it. Some of my favorite times at Rehoboth Beach. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Arad. Nansuri.
Who's that?
She's a Kassawa based in Seas. Hanan and Suri from Pennsylvania.
Great, nice, thank you.
Thank you for the nice class.
Always nice to have you come on. You always like to hear. It's nice. Good. Anybody else?
Thank you for such a nice class, Maharaj.
Henry, okay. When do you head back?
I'm at the airport right now.
Okay. We had a nice time yesterday, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Henry, you know, the only regret I had about Ratihatra is that I left that hat in India. Remember that kind of hat that you told me would protect me from the sun?
Yes.
Okay. I wish I had it yesterday. Baseball
we'll
cap
to get you a new one.
The sun strikes you from all sides. But
some aloe vera gel on your head, you know. Put some aloe vera gel where you got burned.
Okay.
That's really good stuff, you know.
I thought that the, you know, it was raining and I'd be protected, but I got surprised. And boy, when it came out through that sun. Anyway, I just protected myself enough that it's just a little hot, not burned. But, okay. Thanks, Henry. Okay, Hare Krishna. Good. It seems like somehow or other many people are calling in. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end now. Bunch of culprits.